Hey!
I'm Savannah.
And I'm Delaney.
And this is the Crime Chronicles.
Whoop whoop!
Welcome back.
This is our 10th episode.
We just had to discuss that right before we started
recording. We literally were like, okay.
10th
so,
episode.
So, intro. 10th episode. Say your name. Don't be stupid.
We had to run through the
intro, otherwise we sit there for like 5 seconds and are like, am I gonna talk?
Hey!
It's awkward for everyone involved.
So, yeah. So, I think we may have figured out a schedule that might work.
Yes. It also kind of helps that I'm not swimming because I am currently banned from doing so.
Yeah, she's all broken in the legs.
I'm very broken in the hip.
She's alright. Don't worry. We're fine.
I'm not dying yet.
It's just not good.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, we're having a good time.
Live, laugh,
so, kind of our plan right now is to post on Fridays.
Yes. Because that gives us, like, a solid week where we can have flexibility in the schedule.
And I think our plan is to post at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which would be 11:30 Mountain Standard Time and something else. I don't know. Those are the only two time zones I know.
That's really sad. I mean, same. I know less than you.
So. But yeah, so that was kind of our plan. I would like you guys to keep in mind that we are still in high school and we need permission to record sometimes. And like, we can't just
we can't just be like, I'm going to drive over and we're going to record, okay? Not yet, anyway.
Okay, I looked it up. So it'll be 1 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be 10 a.m. Pacific time. What other time zones are there?
Mountain, 11.
Yeah, Mountain is 11. I knew that. Central time, it'll be noon.
Figuring it out. She is on Google as we speak.
But yeah, we'll post about it on our Instagram. If you haven't followed our Instagram, please go follow our Instagram. I would like to thank everyone because we have over 350 followers on our Instagram
it's
now.
It's so cool to me. Like, we didn't think we were gonna get,
like,
that much attention.
We were, like, gonna get 20 followers and that was gonna be it. And half of them were gonna be our friends.
Yeah.
So,
like, this is insane.
Yeah,
thank
this
you
is
so
crazy.
Much.
So, yeah, thank you guys for that.
We're also eating fries right now.
Yeah,
so
I made fries.
We are enjoying. I got really scared, though, because she started making a sauce for the fries. She put mayo
We're gonna
and
talk
mustard.
About this.
Yes. She put mayo and mustard and honey in it, and I went, what the fuck?
What are you doing?
But it's really good.
It's really good.
Anyways.
When I cook good.
I do not. I know how to make noodles. That's about it.
You know how to make Kraft mac and cheese and bagels, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Cereal. Don't. Wow. So amazing.
I'm impressed of everyone.
Yes.
But.
Yeah. All right. So, today is one of my cases. Woo! Okay. I'm going to be completely honest. This case happens in, like, Russia, Soviet Union, and, like, all of the names I have absolutely no idea how to pronounce. So I'm so sorry. I'm going to try, like, my best to do it as much as I can. I don't mean any disrespect. I just really don't know how to pronounce any of these names.
I mean, fair. I wouldn't either.
So, yeah. I don't even know how to technically pronounce the title because, like, I've listened to, like, multiple podcast episodes on it before, like, doing it. And a lot of them say it a different way. So, yeah. Today, we're going to be doing the Dyatlov Pass incident. I'm going to say Dyatlov because that makes the most sense to me.
That makes sense to me too.
So I'm
going to
say
that.
Yeah. Today is the Dyatlov Pass incident.
I'm really excited about this one because I don't know anything about it, but like she was like talking about her research, and I was like, ooh,
yeah. So
spicy.
I just realized that I don't have the year it happened on here, but it is in 1959. My bad. Okay. So yeah. This one's going to be a really crazy one. I heard about this like. In a conspiracy video, like, 4 years ago, and, like, she just dropped sauce on my bed. That was... Anyway, getting back to the serious things here.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah, so on January 27th, 1959, as we now know,
yeah.
9 young but experienced Russian hikers began a trek through the Ural Mountains. They were all from this place called the Ural Polytechnical Institute, since named renamed the Ural Federal University.
Oh, interesting.
So the reason they went on this hike was, they were, like, level 2 hikers. Like,
there are levels.
In Russia and the Soviet Union, or at least back then, there were, like, certain levels of, like, experienced hikers you could be.
Okay.
And so all of these people were, like, except one, which I'll talk about later, are all, like, younger 20s. So, like, 23, 22 is about the normal age for a lot of these people. And they were, like, level 2, and this would have gotten them onto level 3.
Oh, okay.
The hiking, like,
Successful yes. hike.
So, this group consisted of Igor Dyatlov, Yuri Nikolaevich Doroshenko.
Damn, you're doing good so far.
Ludmila Alexandrovna Dubinina.
Dubinina.
Georgi Alexeyevich Krovenchiko. Alexander Servetchik Kolovatov.
Zineda
Alexeyevna Kolomovgra. Rustam Valadrovnich Slobodin. And, oh, not and. Nikolai Vladimirovich Thibault-Brugnols. Semyon Alexeyevich Zolotarov. And Yuri Yefimovich Yudin.
You did great. I'm so proud of you.
But yeah, so this expedition was led by Igor Dyatlov, for which this incident is named. And he was, like, about to graduate. This was going to be, like, his last hike before he graduated. And, like, his mom did not want him to go on this trip also.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, the fact that he wasn't...
Just because this was very dangerous, and I'll talk about this a little later, but a tribe that lived near the mountain literally named it, like, Death Mountain.
Oh, damn.
So it did not have a lot of good vibes around it. It just wasn't going very well. So, yeah, there was, like, a lot of stuff going around the mountain itself. But of the people who went, there are two names that are particularly interesting, besides Igor Dyatlov. So, Semyon, or Alexander as he was also known, I guess, was 37, more than a decade older than everyone else.
Oh.
And he joined right before the group departed.
So he was just like, oh, guess what, I'm coming, lols.
Well, because all these people were, like, college-age kids who were, like, you know, they were all, like, younger 20s.
And he was just, like, the outlier
of
the group.
Which is just odd. Like, he didn't do anything specifically weird, it was just, that's odd.
Something to point out.
And then Yuri Yefimovich Yudin suffered from several health problems and turned back on January 28th due to knee and joint pain that made him unable to continue the hike. Looking at Delaney right now.
But it's my hip this time, guys!
He suffered from a lot of, like, health issues, including, like, a heart condition and, like, rheumatism. Damn. And, like, he had a lot of stuff
going
on.
And he was still
going
to go on this?
Yeah, and, like, he had still, like, done a lot of hiking expeditions before this as well.
I mean, good for him. I know. Joint pain, not it.
So, kind of spoiler alert, he was the only of the original 10 to survive.
Oh my god.
Because he turned back.
That's... I don't know what happened to them. Yeah, because I don't know anything about this. Now I'm scared.
Yeah. So, the timeline is derived from diary entries, which are very interesting because they kind of had, like, a daily diarist person who would, like, write down what they were doing. And just kind of track, and then other people would also just add notes and, like, whatever. So, on January 27th, 1959, they began their trek. On January 28th, Yuri turns back. January 31st, they arrived at a highland area and made preparations for climbing, and they organized their, like, surplus food. They, like, cached it. C-A-C-H-E-D.
Yes.
Cached.
Like, geocache.
Kind of. That was really random. Anyway.
I made a connection in my brain.
So, they arrived at this pass, and on February 1st, they began to move through this pass. So because of weather conditions, like snowstorms and decreasing visibility, they lost their direction and deviated west towards the top of Kolat Sikil, which was the mountain that people called Death Mountain. And they were, like, supposed to, like, go over there anyway, kind of, but not the way they did. No, not the way they did. So they decided to camp there rather than move to a sheltered forest, most likely in an effort not to lose altitude.
I mean, yeah, but, like, if you're about to die, maybe no.
They didn't think they were gonna die.
Well, but they're being stupid, and I can tell you that, and I don't even hike all that much.
And then, on February 1st, or, well, technically February 2nd, because it was between midnight and 3 a.m., the incident occurs, I will tell more about later, so be patient. February 12th, the Dyatlov was supposed to send a telegram when they reached their destination, a delivery expected to arrive on the 12th. It did not arrive.
Oh, that's good.
This was not a concern at the time, though, because hikes like these can be delayed really easily, and you can just, like, take a little longer than you need to, and then, like, the telegram, like, it's, there's a lot of factors, so people weren't concerned.
So they were like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
By February 20th, relatives were demanding a rescue operation, and the Institute sent the first rescue groups, consisting of volunteer students and teachers, and later the police and army becoming involved.
Oh.
So they were, like,
missing.
It has been a while since anyone has heard from them. It was 8 days after the telegram was supposed to arrive, and so the, like, relatives were like, I'm worried.
Like, yeah, like, we want to know where our family is.
Exactly. So, February 26th, the abandoned and badly damaged tent of the hikers is discovered on Kolesikol. Quote from the student who found the tent, Mikkel Shaverin, the tent was half torn down and covered with snow. It was empty, and all the group's belongings and shoes had been left behind.
What?
So now I will explain the scene of what these investigators found. The tent had been cut open from the inside.
This wasn't, like, natural death.
They cut that open from the inside with one of their own blades because the zipper for the tent was still zipped and locked.
What? Okay, continue.
9 sets of footprints were found leading out of the tent, the sets being distinguishably wearing only socks, one shoe, or barefoot.
What the fuck?
Food was laid out as if for a meal, belongings and assorted shoes were inside the tent. Their autopsy reports showed that their last meal was apparently 6 or 8 hours ago, between 6 and 8 hours.
Yeah.
And so this was, like, going to be their next one. At the edge of the forest nearby, the remains of a fire were found. Here were the first two bodies, those of Krovoshenko and Doroshenko. They had no shoes and were dressed only in underwear. Both had seemingly frozen to death, but also harbored burn marks and multiple abrasions.
What?
Branches in this area were broken up to 16 feet high, and human skin traces were found on them, suggesting someone had climbed them and or torn them down.
So did they all just, like, go insane and, like, kill each other or something?
I will go through, there are so many theories that I
have
to explain.
Oh god, I'm so scared.
Nearby, the bodies of Dyatlov, Kolomovgra, and Slobodin were found. They had died in positions suggesting they were attempting to get back at the tent at the moment of death.
Oh, so they were, like, going back for the tent.
Yes. So okay. They found these 5 total bodies in those 2 different locations. And then, 2 months later, they found the other 4. In an attempted ravine shelter nearby, the bodies of Thibaut Brignol, Kolovitov, Zolotarov, and Dubina were found after more than 2 months of searching for them. They were found in a snowbanked ravine under 13 feet of snow.
Oh my god.
3 of the 4 were semi-clothed, so, like, these were the only ones who had, like, some form of clothing on. I mean, the other 2 had, like, underwear, these had, like, some items. They were not fully dressed, but, like, they weren't, like, completely bare.
Weird. Because, so, like, also, isn't this place hella cold?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, hiking in mountains like these where it was snowing and, like, it would have been bad. So, there were signs that some of the clothing of those who had died first had been removed for the use of others.
Oh.
So, for example, Dubina was wearing Kravenchiko's burned and ripped pants, and her left foot and leg were wrapped in a torn jacket.
Oh, dang.
So, now I will go through the autopsies of each different person. So Yuri Doroshenko died of hypothermia and had burn marks and abrasions.
Which makes sense if he wasn't wearing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yuri Krovoshenko died of hypothermia and had burn marks and abrasions.
Those abrasions are weird to me.
Those burn were marks? Those 2 that were, like, near the trees by the fire. Then these are the 3 that were, died in positions suggesting they were trying to get back to the tent. Igor Dyatlov died of hypothermia, not anything special. Zineda Kolomogrova died of hypothermia, and Rustem Slobodin died of hypothermia, and he had a small crack in his skull, but it was not fatal.
So, someone, like, bang, and he didn't die, but then he died from hypothermia?
There was a crack in his skull. That is
all we know? Oh my god.
That's not all we know, but, like, I'll explain it in a second.
Okay.
Then, these are the 4 that were found under the snowbank ravine. So, Nikolai Thibaut Brignol died of a fatal skull injury, and had soft tissue damage to the head and face.
Okay, that's weird to me that the other dude has his
You're not even ready for these other three.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You don't understand, okay?
I'm really scared now.
Alexander Kolivatov died of hypothermia. His neck was deformed and twisted around an inhuman angle. His eyebrows were missing, and there was soft tissue damage to the head and face.
So did someone snap his neck?
Again, I need to not tell you right now. Semyon Zolotarov died of severe chest trauma. His eyes were missing, and there was some soft tissue damage to his head and face.
His eyes were just...
Well, the other guy's eyebrows were missing, which is, like, more explainable, but, like, when your eyes are gone...
Someone dug his eyes. Did they ever find the eyes?
I don't know, actually.
Oh, that's good. So he's just sitting somewhere, eyeless, dead.
Yeah. Ugh.
Now this girl. Eyeballs freaked me out.
Ludmila Dubinina.
I'm scared. Is she the only female on this trip?
There's two.
Oh, there's two.
Ludmila and Zaneta.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about her.
Ludmila Dubinina died of internal bleeding caused by chest trauma, aka crushed or broken ribs.
Hmm.
Her eyes, part of her lips, and her tongue were missing.
What the fuck?
There was soft tissue damage to her head and face, and a skull fragment was missing.
Cannibalism? Question mark?
Again, I'm not going to tell you yet!
Because my thought when you said that, like, at first I was just like, what the fuck, why are their eyes missing? And then I was like, wait, but if they were, like, the first ones to die, they could have, like, started cutting them apart to try to survive.
So let's discuss this for a minute. This is insane.
Well, because, like, part of their injuries could be brought down to natural causes, like exposure to the elements, but the fact that their eyes are fucking missing and they're just, like, in random-ass places half naked, like, what?
So, I'll tell you. There are some explanations to injuries like, the chest trauma and things.
Yeah, that one I could understand, like, if a rock or something.
But they're also not very consistent.
Oh.
And out of the hundreds of theories that I looked through, I don't believe any of them.
Oh my god.
I don't think that any of them are viable.
That's weird.
Like, there are a couple that I'm like, at first glance, I'm like, okay. And there was one that was declared the most possible explanation, like, recently. Like, there was an investigation was reopened, and they were like, this is the most possible. I don't believe that.
Oh, interesting. Now and I need to know these, because I
can't
Yeah,
I'll go
react.
Over it in a second, because there's some extra, like, information.
Oh, okay.
So.
Sick.
But yeah, isn't this just odd?
It's, well, because, like, at first I was like, okay, the Dilithol Pass incident, like, people die on mountains and hiking all the time, but this is just...
Like, Mount Everest, like, hundreds of people die on there.
Yeah, literally. Like, Mount Everest, even just, like, going to national parks, people go missing.
Exactly.
And, like, it's weird. But,
as
like,
we've seen in Gabby Petito's episode where we talked about that.
Literally, like...
Plug for our other episode.
Plug shamelessly. No, but this is weird because it's, like, they were found, but, like, nothing in this is consistent. Because, like, the first few, they have burn marks and abrasions. Burn marks, I could maybe see if they, like, burnt themselves.
Well, there was a fire remaining nearby.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense. The abrasions could be explained, but they're a little odd.
If any of the bodies were going to not be explained, it's the four that were found in the ravine.
Yeah, the four that were found in the ravine are the most interesting.
Because the other, like, if you think of the most natural explanation for why hikers die on a mountain...
It's hypothermia.
It's hypothermia or, like, an avalanche.
Yeah.
And we'll go over the avalanche theory, but, like... Those four, or, like, those five that are, like,
in
the burn marks and abrasions, and then the people who are trying to get back to the tent.
Yeah.
Those I could see how they could be explained.
Well, because the people trying to get back to the tent, they could have been coming from somewhere and then trying to get back, and that's when they all died from hypothermia, and, like, that's plausible.
But also, they didn't have clothes on. And no shoes.
What the fuck?
And they ripped their tent open from the inside. Okay, hold on, we can't go over this quite yet.
I know.
So, this is, like, general info that was kind of derived from the investigation. So, the bodies had no external wounds associated with the bone fractures as if they had been subjected to a high level of pressure. This is very important.
Repeat that.
Maisie! Sorry, the dog freaked out.
Well, because her sibling was like, Maisie! And then the dog was like, ah! Like, exact reaction.
perfect recreation.
It was, okay, and repeat that because, first of all, didn't comprehend it the first time, but it's also then the dog.
And then it was also very important.
So repeat.
The bodies had no external wounds associated with the bone fractures, as if they had been subjected to a high level of pressure.
Oh.
So, like, if someone's head is bashed in, you, can, like, tell you can tell because someone bashed their head in.
Yeah.
That's not how that was.
So,
like, their bones were broken, but no one hit them, so their bones
could it potentially be from, like, climbing too fast and, like, subjecting yourself to a high level of altitude too soon?
And causing your ribs to break and cause severe internal bleeding?
You're right. Yeah. That's, so, no, what I'm thinking of is when you're in the ocean and you come up too fast, because that can happen, because you're going from a really high level of pressure to a really low.
That is true, but, like, the altitude at this level, they weren't climbing, like, it's pretty impossible to climb so fast that you just, like, explode. Yeah. So, the gruesome injuries of the last four were concluded to be post-mortem. So that means they didn't happen while they were alive. So, the inquest files, which are, like, public files released about the case, said that six of the group members died from hypothermia and three of fatal injuries.
Okay.
The three that died of fatal injuries were the ones in the ravine, plus the one person in that ravine who died of hypothermia. There were no indications of other people on Colette Sakil apart from the nine travelers.
Weird.
So they were like, we didn't see any evidence that other people were there. The tent had been ripped open from within.
That's weird to me. Because, like, did they go just insane?
I will cover it.
This is hurting me.
Yeah. So the victims had died 6 to 8 hours after their last meal.
Okay.
Traces from the camp show that all group members left the campsite of their own accord on foot. So it's not like someone was, like, marching them out or anything like that. Now, this is interesting. Some levels, again, this is the public file, so it's not anything super specific. Some levels of radiation were found on one of the victims' clothing.
Just one?
Yes. According to the public file.
I mean, we are in Russia.
So
that sounded really rude. I'm sorry. I was just thinking.
So the, like, lead investigator on this stated that the fatal injuries of the three bodies could not have been caused by human beings because the force of the blows had been too strong and no soft tissue had been damaged. So again, like, if I, like, broke someone's arm and, like, grabbed it and broke it, that would be different than, like, their arm being so pressurized that their bone would break.
So, could it... Well, because then that also takes out the theory that, like, one of them got, like, a tree or a rock fell and, like, crushed their ribs or something. Because that would also have external...
Like, what's interesting is the only soft tissue damage we see is on the faces of the people in the ravine.
Cannibalism!
That is... You are sticking to that. But, like,
firmly believe that. Actually, wait. They would have found that in the stomach contents, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Oh. Never mind.
You were sticking with that so hard.
Realistically,
if you were sticking with cannibalism, other people could have done it, but there's no evidence to show that there are other people there.
Yeah.
So, like, the point is from the thing that, like, it was suggesting that it was pressure and there's no soft tissue damage, is that a person could not have done this.
So it's like, but I don't see how it could have been natural either.
Exactly.
What the hell?
So then the last couple things from the inquest files. Released documents contained no information about the condition of the skier's internal organs.
That's
which was
odd.
Weird.
Anyway.
And there were no survivors, which we kind of assumed. So the inquest...
Well, except for that one dude who turned back.
What?
He survived.
Oh, yeah. Well, him. Yeah.
But from the nine, no survivors. Yes.
The inquest officially stopped in May 1959 because no one was found responsible. Because there was no, like... suspect or anything. So these files were sent to a secret archive, which
a
I think
secret,
is interesting.
A secret.
I don't know. That's what it said. Secret archive.
It's like, shh, don't tell them about the people with broken bones. It's like, oh.
So the official conclusion ruled that the hikers died because of a compelling natural force. That is what it listed it as.
Which one?
A compelling one.
Well, because, like, I'm sitting here trying to think what, I mean, maybe an avalanche? But that still would have external...
Exent. I will tell you.
I hate you. Tell me already.
The future leader of the Dyatlov organization attended the funeral of the hikers when he was 12 years old.
Dang.
And he stated that their skin at their, like, funeral had turned a deep brown tan. That was the
frostbite, maybe? But that's more purple and red.
I mean, I would have to do research on how frostbite affects your skin, like, way after you're dead. Because, I mean, like, I'm assuming for funeral and, like, after...
Yeah.
Because they didn't even find the four who were under the ravine for 2 months. So, depending on how hypothermia affects the skin, if any of you are, like, forensic investigators or, like...
Okay, so frostbite, I'm looking, and frostbite can turn brown.
Okay.
Because the stages of it is, like, normal skin tone, then frost nip, which is, like, bright red,
mm-hmm.
then superficial frostbite, which is, like, white, and it has, like... indicators like frost and like bubbles forming, then it can turn brown, and that's deep frostbite.
Okay,
so that, but I also am not that well versed, and I do know that when frostbite's really really bad, it can turn black.
Yeah,
so I mean that could be it, but again, I'm just looking this up on Google.
So if any of you know something about this, please let us know. We also,
that's interesting.
I'm going to do a little plug for our Instagram again. I added an email contact, so if you guys want to email us at any point or like DM us on the Instagram, there's a tab for that on our Instagram if you would like to reach out for something.
For anything, case recommendation,
or
whatever.
Just like let us know about the frostbite thing, something
because
like that.
I'm actually really interested as to why their skin got
deep brown tan.
I mean, they're also by the snow, and if it was sunny, they could have just naturally gotten tan, but then again, it was post-mortem.
That's like,
unlikely, so I don't know.
So yeah, now, finally, we're gonna get into theories.
Oh, I'm-
How excited
This is what I needed!
You?
I was sitting here, about to, like, implode because you kept looking at me weird, and then, like, not telling me.
Okay, so, these are, like, scratching the surface of theories. These are some of, like,
The
like,
more
big
ones,
or, like, ones that I thought were interesting, like, it's...
There are, like, hundreds.
There are hundreds, and I looked up a website that literally just had, like, lists of them, and they would, like, cover every single one. It was crazy. So, yeah, if you want to do more research into some of these theories, because some of them are crazy interesting, but, like, I couldn't fit all of them, like, if you want to do more research into this, I would highly suggest it.
Yes.
So... First theory is that the Mansi tribe killed them. The Mansi tribe was a tribe that led a reindeer herding group indigenous to the area. If you'll remember, they're the ones who kind of nicknamed the mountain that.
Death Mountain.
So, this theory, like, ranged that they were it was like a sacrificial ritual, or because the hikers had wandered onto sacred land.
No.
So, the way I'm going to do theories is I'm going to present all the things that people, like, why people think this, and I'll, like, disprove them, kind of.
Oh, bet.
So,
sick. I'm so excited.
Zenaida Coloma Grava wrote in the journal, "We often see Mansi signs on the trail. I wonder what they write about." Another one of the hikers wrote, "Mansi writings appear on trees. All sorts of obscure, mysterious characters."
Hmm.
Again, there was no sign of a hand-to-hand struggle, nor any suspicion of other beings present at the time of the incident. So
also, it's like the cause of death for those in the ravine don't indicate like human like inflicted
involvement.
Yeah.
So the fact that most hikers died of hypothermia while the brutal injuries of the others were not consistent with human inflicted violence makes this theory, as with the possibility of another crime, unlikely. So
yeah, that's I was like sitting here and I was like no.
Yeah. So, police in the area actually took many Mansi members in for questioning, although this led nowhere.
Well,
because
yeah.
This one is one that I'm like, I don't even see how that could happen.
I literally don't either. Also,
well, also
like,
just the fact that, like, almost all of them died from hypothermia. Like, literally only three died from, like, fatal injuries, like, that weren't even, like human inflicted, like...
They were just, like, there, and
I don't see how a person could have done this.
I don't either. And also, like, the fact that the tent... Like, I could maybe see how it could be more plausible, still unlikely, but more plausible, if the tent had been ripped open
from
the
outside. Like, someone was trying to break in and get them.
But inside...
That's also an interesting thing. So
I'm sitting here, like, waving my arm around.
Miming ripping open a tent, as you do.
It's kind of fun. I kind of want to rip open a tent from the inside now.
That's your thing now.
Except that feels like maybe it would bring a bit of karma with it, and I don't want that.
Maybe not. So, this theory is about espionage.
Sick.
So this theory is based off of two specific hikers in the group. Semyon Zolotarov, who is the 37-year-old World War II vet. I forgot to mention he was a World War II vet.
Oh, dang. he's just living.
He's living his best life.
Well, he's kind of dead now, but...
He was living his best life.
He was.
And Yuri Krovonoshenko, he helped clean up a radioactive lake at a secret Soviet nuclear facility, which has been compared to the Chernobyl disaster.
Is he the one with the radiation on his clothes?
They don't release who has the radiation on their clothes.
Oh!
The scream that you just scrumped. The scream that you just scrumped. Please don't. I never want to hear the word scrumped again.
It's my favorite. I'm going to start using it at school.
I never want to hear that again.
Yeah.
Scream you just scrumped.
No, that makes me so upset. Fun fact, I just did a presentation on the Chernobyl disaster, and that was interesting.
Oh, anyway.
So this is a weird connection.
But yeah, so according to a popular theory, these two were working for the KGB, a secret Russian government agency, and joined the trek so they could meet with CIA, American CIA agents in the Ural Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to this theory, they were supposed to exchange fake nuclear information along with radioactive material, and when the CIA agents found out the corruption of this meeting, they killed the group.
No.
Again, there was no sign of other people being there.
Like, maybe, so, yes, espionage, but was it the cause of the death and the incident?
The only thing that I could see that's slightly plausible about this theory is the fact that there was radioactive matter found on one of the victims. Which is just interesting.
I think that
And then the fact that the other guy was just, like, kind of old. But, like, that doesn't immediately suggest that he was a spy. It's not immediately, like, he was a spy trading fake nuclear codes with American CIA agents. Like, I don't think that is a logical conclusion.
I think that maybe, like, it's... Let's go out here. Let's go along with this.
Okay, let's walk out. Let's walk with this.
Like, let's say they both were, perhaps, a part of this.
Spies.
And perhaps they were going to commit espionage. But yes. Was it the cause for the incident or for the death? There's literally no way.
Because, again, no other human signs were detected. The fact that how they died, like, no.
No. Also, I don't really see how the CIA would have known that it was corrupt and then been like, oh, damn, guess we gotta kill everyone now.
Right? Like...
Like...
That doesn't make much sense to me.
Who came up with this theory? I just want to talk.
But, like, yeah, this one is plausible ones.
I have a real weird feeling that whoever came up with this is some, like, whack job. And that they're really, like, a little intimidating. And I would just stand there and just, like, stare up at them with my crutches.
I just want to talk.
With my crutches.
Yeah, she has crutches now.
I do.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Anyway,
so yeah,
moving on from the espionage, like, theory.
Some of these theories you can just tell, like, no. Absolutely.
Yeah.
This one is interesting. So this is the theory that their deaths were caused by a UFO or military weapons.
Okay, I was wondering if the aliens were going to get brought into this.
They are. Okay, I'll get into it in a second. So,
you are about to go off.
I was about to say some stuff, but I'm going to wait. So, in 1990, the original lead investigator of this case, Lev Ivanov, released an article about the censorship of the investigation.
Well, because Russia...
He stated that he had been ordered to admit some of his key emit. Sorry, it kind of sounded like admit. Like, E-M-I-T. Like, censor out. Some of his key findings. His primary example being that trees near where the bodies were found harbored char marks from concentrated rays of heat.
Oh.
So, again, there was a fire over there, but this says specifically, like concentrated rays.
Which would be different than just, like, a little bit of burnt.
So, there were many reports of floating balls of light and air phenomena near the Ural Mountains in that time, specifically the night of February 1st.
Okay. Okay. Here's the thing with the little glowing balls of light. I'm a spiritual person. I, like, believe in stuff, like, supernaturally or something from time to time. Like, I kind of go back and forth. But the little glowing orbs, that are seen in photos and stuff is literally a refraction of light, and it's scientifically proven to be a thing that just happens because of moisture in the air.
But
that's my case.
Just the fact that there were so many different reports and it wasn't, like, on a photo or anything.
That's a little interesting,
because,
I do have
like,
to say.
People with their eyes saw it, you know?
Yeah, it's a little interesting, but
so,
it still could be
yes.
refraction of light.
A group of hikers about 30 miles away from the Dyatlov group reported seeing strange orange lights slash spheres on the to the north on the night of the incident, so around that
orange?
Area. That's what they said.
Why?
Strange orange lights slash spheres.
Hmm.
Around the Dyatlov group, or, like, where people assumed them to be.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's interesting.
The theory is that either aliens or UFOs were involved. with that same lead investigator stating, based on the evidence gathered, the role of UFOs in this tragedy was quite obvious. So this man's definitely believed in aliens, and he was like, I don't know about y'all, but this was aliens.
He was like, guys.
He was like,
guys,
bitches.
Area 51.
I need my alien bitches up in here.
He was really.
And it's like, personally.
On this. Train.
Personally, I don't think that humans could be the only organism in the universe.
Yeah.
But I also don't think aliens just come down and kill a random group of hikers on a mountain one night.
In Russia.
In, like.
Like, no.
That doesn't make much sense to me. Because, like, I don't not believe in aliens. Like, I do believe that there are other beings in the universe, but I don't
like
think that they just do random shit like this.
I really don't think so. And if they did, they'd probably be like, guess what we did? What's up, homies?
Like, I don't think that would. So, yeah, this guy was like,
wild.
I don't know about y'all, but this was aliens. So,
anyway,
yeah.
Okay, no, because he's sticking to his alien story.
He's,
like, I stuck to the cannibalism.
He's going for it. So. Another theory is that experimental military weapons were being unofficially tested at this site, and one malfunctioned or went off, killing the hikers. Or they were not aware that the hikers were there and were just firing into this area.
So,
honestly, for me, I would believe the alien theory more.
Yeah, same.
Just because the injuries don't seem consistent with military weapon damage, besides the one radioactive thing. Like, most of them literally died from
hypothermia.
And, like, it's no.
And also, like, the eyes just
eyes,
missing. That's
eyes.
Not gonna happen because of,
like, if more radiation had been found at that site,
that would have been
much more plausible to me.
Or, like, even if they wanted to say that it was something to do with, like, a chemical weapon.
Well, like, another thing, like, I will always go back to this. Like, the fact that they came out of the tent with, like, no clothes on.
Yeah.
They ripped out, they ripped their way out of that tent. Like, they didn't, like, take the time to
open it and walk,
like,
out, and then we're, like, shot.
Like, they didn't, like, walk out of their tent in no clothes, and then
yeah.
a missile just came and hit them. That's not what happened.
And, like, they ripped, yeah,
they
that's
ripped
weird.
It out, had
also,
like,
they're all found in a different area, and if this military weapon was being fired, like, if it were a missile or something, like, they would have all been relatively close to each other, and the ones that were in the ravine wouldn't have been necessarily buried under, like, 13 feet of snow.
Yeah. So,
anyways.
That one is just very unlikely to me. Although it is interesting, and when I first heard about this case, I was like, that's definitely it.
And then you're
I
like,
don't think
nah.
so. So, this is kind of, like, a little speculative one. So, this is the theory that the Yeti
this.
Or Sasquatch killed
them. I was wondering if they were going to bring them into this, too.
So, what is interesting, and I did find a photo of this, I'm not 100% sure if it's real.
I want to go look,
don't look it up. Don't look it up yet. Don't look
okay.
it up yet. I'll show you in a bit. Like, I don't know if the photo is real, and if the photo is real, it's interesting. So, supposedly, there was an image captured on the camera of one of the hikers that depicted a blurry, dark figure stalking in the trees. Although this is believed to be another hiker.
Probably. More likely than the Yeti.
If the photo that I've seen is what they're talking about, interesting.
Okay. But the Yeti...
It could also very possibly be another hiker.
But the Yeti!
So, the Yeti is believed to live in the Ural Mountains, leading
yeah.
believers to theorize that when the Yeti came across the hikers, it killed them.
But then again, the injuries... And also, rip open the tent from the inside? Yeah, maybe if the tent was, like, clawed open. Sure.
Yeah, like, animal, like, anything animal or, like,
Yeti.
Not human. Anything animal or Yeti. like, if the tent had been, like, clawed open...
Then yes.
That would make so much more sense to me.
This kind of, like, I can follow it, but at the same time,
that's really
like,
the only piece of evidence we have. That's really only the only piece of evidence we
have. Holy shit!
Go away!
Go away! Oh my god! Her brother just scared the shit out of us!
Holy shit. I just had a heart attack.
Savannah's room.
My room's really weird. It has a window that, like, shows the basement. So a window that, like, is on a wall between the basement and my room. And my brother just appeared, like, in the window, holding a poster, and it scared the absolute shit out of me.
It scared me first!
Delaney saw, and I turned around, and I just saw, like, a man stalking in the shadows.
No, because I was looking at the... Like,
the window.
I was looking down because when I get really into it, I look down and I shake my hands.
Uh-huh.
So I was doing that. I look up. There's a shadowy figure in the window. I jump so hard. Savannah turns around.
And then I scream, which we got on a recording.
Oh,
holy fuck.
We were just trying to talk about the Yeti.
Leave us to talk about the Yeti.
Oh my god. Oh, that was so scary.
That was so genuinely terrifying.
I'm glad we weren't doing, like, a serial killer case.
We were just talking about a shadowy figure in the woods, so I'm not exactly happy about it.
I mean, but it's better than if we were talking about, like, an unidentified serial killer.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Because I would have cried, I think, legitimately. I would have been like, oh, God. Okay. I'm surprised I didn't scream, holy fuck! Like...
Well, you just kind of, like, pointed to scare it. You were like, ah! Then I just screamed.
Okay.
Well, that was really fun. You're gonna hear what me screaming sounds like. Anyway.
Okay, getting back.
So, yeah. That was the Yeti theory.
not the brother.
Not the brother theory.
But the theory.
Anyway. So, this next theory is one that I think is... some of the top.
Okay.
Like, this one is higher in my book. I don't 100% believe in this, but it's higher up there.
Like, it's, like, one that you could maybe give a little ground.
And this is actually not very well-known theory. Like, it's one of the more obscure ones. So, this theory says that all the hikers suffered Arctic hysteria.
Okay.
And okay. Hold on. Where they seemed to walk around in a trance, not feeling worldly... so bad.
I think it's...
worldly sensations like cold, and they were dazed and confused. This was supposedly something associated with natives living in cold climates at the time, which, after I looked into it, it's, like, it's a little bit racist, and by a little bit, I mean kind of, like, a lot.
Oh, that's not good.
So, I kind of based my own theory off of, like, the words that I just first saw, hysteria. For me, I thought of mass hysteria, where if one person suddenly hallucinated or started a belief that a terrible event was happening, others followed and suffered the same mass delusion. This, to me, explains the lack of clothes and shoes and the tent being torn from the inside.
Okay, when you said the tent was torn from the inside, my immediately thought was, like, did they all go crazy?
This is one of the more viable ones to me.
Yes.
There are still some questions, like... why was there radioactive material? Why were the, like, tree was, like, torn up? Why they were, like, they were found in so many different positions? Well, why some of them were trying to get back to the tent?
True.
Why, although the injuries were post-mortem, some of them died from, like...
weird-ass eyes being missing,
like,
and, like...
And then, like, they had severe chest trauma. Like, if everyone had died of hypothermia...
then this would be probably the
But, like, just the fact that there's other injuries and, like, stuff, like, their eyes and stuff are missing, and if only those people, is weird.
Yeah. Okay, because, like...
So those were all my suspicions. That being said, this is the most viable to me.
This is the most viable. It doesn't explain everything, and I don't think we're going to find a theory that does.
No, absolutely not.
But, okay, when you experience hypothermia, I don't know why I just know shit about this.
It's okay. You can go. Go on.
But I have heard that, like, when you experience hypothermia and your body starts to shut down, the first thing that starts to go is kind of, like, your... logical reasoning, because your body's just devoting
I think
its
you're
going to
talk about something that I wanted to, so go ahead.
Yes. Devoting its entire, like, energy supply to keeping you alive.
Rather than, like, thinking.
Yeah. And so then people, like, when people experience hypothermia, they will start to take off their clothes because they start to feel really hot, too.
Well, there's also that hallucination of being warm when you're actually literally freezing to death. But the fact that their clothes were inside the tent.
That's weird.
Like, if they had all started taking off their clothes. I was actually going to talk about this in the next theory. Like, if they started just taking off all their clothes and the clothes were found next to their bodies,
then
it would be like another thing adding to this because that makes more sense.
But the clothes being in the tent is
odd. So the clothes being in the tent almost contributes to the mass hysteria theory.
Yeah, it does. I think it does. For sure.
So the last theory that I'm going to talk about, making sure that was the last one. Yep. Okay. So this is the theory that is the most likely according to the reopened investigation.
Not according to you.
Not according to me.
Okay.
So this is the theory that a slab avalanche killed them. A slab avalanche, I don't know why I talk like that. A slab avalanche is when a large slab of snow gives way and slides down a mountain, as avalanches do. I don't know why I keep saying avalanches.
Avalanche.
So this is the narrative, if this theory is correct.
Okay.
The hikers realized there was an avalanche, causing them to slash their way out of the tent. But when impacted, some suffered great injuries. Those who were not gravely injured and only suffered minor wounds tried to get away, only to die from the intense cold. The four who died in the ravine attempted to create a shelter, ultimately succumbing to injuries or cold. As for the deformities and missing body parts, animals or decomposition is to blame. As to why many were not fully clothed, hypothermia can give the effect of being too hot while actually freezing to death. The next bullet point I have under this. In all caps, why were all their clothes inside the tent, not with their bodies?
Yeah. Okay, because this one, I do see how the slash in the tent, if they were to hear an avalanche, because avalanches aren't, like, silent.
No.
You can hear them. I could see how one person would be like, oh, shit, and then, like, slash it and try to get
everyone to run. Or just, like, run for their life.
Yeah.
Like, that makes sense.
And so, like, when I hear this, and, like, the internal pressure, I could maybe see being a slab avalanche, especially if it's, like, a ton of snow.
So, hold on a second.
But
my next point. This is the most plausible explanation when first looked at and declared, although the finer details are very inconsistent.
Yeah.
So, like you said, like, the way the bodies were found and, like, the way everything happened. So, many have stated that the conditions made it extremely unlikely for this event to occur. So, like, the way that the weather was and the way that, like, that area was suggested that, like, a slab avalanche wouldn't have happened.
Oh, okay.
At that time, at least.
Like, at least, like, when they were hiking.
Yes.
Okay.
So, again, this has been officially stated as the most likely explanation. That is the official statement.
I know.
So, yeah, like, the finer details, like,
I mean,
the part where I, like, the fact that parts of them are missing.
Yeah.
Like, their eyebrows, eyes, tongue, and I see how maybe, like, animals, but also us humans, who are, like, generally smarter than most animals, didn't find them for 2 months.
Yeah.
And they were actively searching for those specific
people. And it's, like, also, if an animal's going to come and take remains, like, off of a human body, they aren't gonna gouge their eyes and the tongue.
Like, it would be, like, chunks of their arm are missing. Or, like, also the fact that the four that were most hidden suffered those injuries rather than, like,
the most out in the open. The
people who were literally just laying there.
Also, the guy whose neck is contorted is interesting to me.
Yes. That's it.
Are you...
That's all I can give you.
Oh, my God. I didn't say that out loud. I said it into a pillow, and I realized you guys can't hear it.
So, those are kind of, I'll explain, there are other theories, there are, like, millions of other theories
I will be going home and looking these up.
Yes, so, other theories I found listed things like they were mistaken for gulag fugitives and killed,
there
were drugs involved, a romantic dispute resulted in tragedy, a wolverine killed them, they had methanol poisoning, there was a gravity fluctuation, it was a teleportation experiment, and even more. There are
what the fuck?
Hundreds of theories about this. Like,
what?
It's, like, there was one about how maybe their oven caused them to go crazy. There's so much on this, like, it's so much. So,
Amen?
I would highly suggest going to read about this case and coming to your own conclusions about it.
What the fuck?
But, like, that's it.
Damn.
Isn't that insane?
That's
such a crazy, it's such a crazy Jesus case. Christ. Like, it's genuinely
crazy to me. I'm gonna have to agree with you that the mass hysteria one, in my mind, is the most plausible.
That is the most plausible. I do not agree with it 100%, but it is the most plausible.
Okay, also, with mass hysteria, it could also potentially explain not necessarily the pressurized injuries, but, mm-hmm, like, the eyes being missing.
Yes.
Because it could be someone else thinking in their delusion that they have to do that.
Or, like, they, yeah. Like,
but then again, the pressure injuries are interesting to me.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
that was crazy.
I knew this one was going to be wild, because you, like, were saying something to Izzy on the bus.
And one of our friends.
Yeah, sorry. One of our friends, Izzy, who's not listening to this.
Whatever. Name drop, whatever. She says she doesn't listen. It's okay. It's fine.
But you were telling her about it on the bus, and I kind of overheard, like, something, and I was like, what the fuck? And then I just moved on.
Well, because, like, I couldn't tell Delaney about it. And one of our other friends listens so actively that, like, I couldn't tell her anything about it because then I would spoil the case, and then Izzy doesn't listen, so I just told Izzy all of it.
Yeah, that's fair. But, so, this is wild. I didn't know what exactly I was expecting. Wasn't this.
But it wasn't this.
I also wasn't expecting to come down here to peacefully record and get the shit scared out of me.
By my brother.
That was so scary.
Anyway. But yeah.
That was insane.
But yeah, we'll post the kind of, like, pictures. Like, there's pictures of the tent, there's pictures of, like, the mountain they were on.
Show me the Yeti one before we hang up. I want to see this.
But yeah,
hang up. I acted like we were on a call.
There's also a movie about this called Devil's Pass.
Can we watch it?
Yes, but I don't know how accurate it is.
Well, but we still should watch.
So, this is, I'll show Delaney, again, this is on our Instagram. This is how the tent was found. So, that's, like, a famous picture.
Oh, so it's, like,
kind of messed up.
Oh, my God, wait, because, like, you were saying ripped open, and I was thinking, like, the slash, and it was kind of open.
That's kind of how I envision it, also.
But then, you look at the photo, and it's literally, like, split down the middle, and it's, like, splayed everywhere. What the hell? Anyways.
Well, I'm looking for, I don't know how I found it on Google last time, because it's not showing up right now.
You know, we'll find it if we
need
to.
That's not it. That was a picture of,
that's a picture that's of
like
a Yeti.
It's like a fan art drawing of a Yeti.
That's funny.
That's not what happened. There's a picture of a man standing upside down.
On his head.
That's not, okay.
Some of these photos, Elsa!
Elsa's here! What's going on?
Google is just throwing us the most wild shit.
Okay, I don't know where I found it.
Olaf?
No, Olaf is here. Okay, I'll find it at some point.
We'll post it.
I already have the picture downloaded to my phone, but we're using my phone to record, so.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'll, but that'll be on the Instagram.
But that was insane.
Yes.
Holy shit.
So, again, highly recommend going to, like, look up your own theories and coming to your own conclusions and, like, all this stuff, like.
Because there's no way we could go through everything in one episode.
No way. There's
not
no,
even, like, two parts.
Like, there's no way I could get through all the theories in, like, four parts. Like,
damn.
There's so many theories. So, yeah, I would highly suggest doing some of your own research and, like, finding all these things that were happening. Yeah, because it's a lot.
Yeah. That's crazy. Dang.
Well, yeah. So.
That's not much else to say. That's it.
Yeah, that's kind of leaves us in a stunned silence almost. But yeah. Whew. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you. The next episode will be very different.
Yes. That's Delaney's episode.
It'll be mine.
Woo! Yeah. But yeah. So.
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah, that was about it.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. So yeah, thank you guys for listening. Go follow our Instagram.
Yes,
email us or DM us with any questions or, like, suggestions or anything else.
If you know about the frostbite thing, tell us.
If you know about the deep brown tan skin, please let us know.
Because this case, also if you just know anything about this case that we didn't mention.
If you know anything that I didn't pick up, like, just please let us know.
Like, this case there's so much.
Yeah.
And I would love to know more.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
So, but yeah.
Thanks for listening. Well,
thank you guys. And
we'll see you next
week.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.